Eric Galloway is joining us as well. I'm going to rat him out. He had to use the restroom. Yeah. Too much water and coffee. So just appreciate you guys so much and appreciate you coming this afternoon. And what this is all about is just God's been stirring in my heart the lost and people in our city that are unreached. And so I'm going to share a little bit more about that. And then we're going to talk about the details of some outreaches that we're going to do together in 2012. But it's more than just five specific outreaches. It's really a mindset towards the lost, and especially those that are unreached in our own community. So I'll pray for us, and then we'll get started together. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for this church family. And we want to thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the people that are coming to know you as their Savior week after week. And we're humbled by that, and we just ask for your blessing upon them. And Lord, we're also aware of the fact that there's so many in this city that don't know you as their Savior. And pray that you would give us a greater burden for them individually and as a church family. And the last thing we want to do is step out in areas where you're not moving. And so would you lead and would you guide and direct and be the head of the church? And we want to be in your will, and we want to be very careful that you receive all of the glory. We don't want this to be a work of the flesh or be about men and women, but be about your son, Jesus. And so would you move in our hearts, and would you give us that heart for those that don't know you as our Savior? In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just kind of share in a little bit more detail where this started for me. It was the end of June, or end of July, and there was Wayne and Aaron Fix got murdered along with one other boy just about a quarter mile here from the church. You know, and we know that things are changing in our community, but to have something like that happen so close to our church. And then the young man that shot them a few days later had a standoff with the police and killed himself. And the shooter had been over at Vista Grand Baptist earlier on in the summer, and one of the pastors had approached him and said, "Hey, you can't steal that parking chain." And then he pulled out a gun on the pastor right there in the parking lot. And so they had a vigil over at Russell Middle School, and I had scheduled that night to go up in the mountains and climb a 14er the next day with a friend of mine. And I just knew that I needed to cancel that trip to go up and climb that 14er and go, this is happening right here in our neighborhood. And so go to that vigil at Russell Middle School. And there was probably about 1,000 people that came. And the majority of them were young people, but just from all different walks of life. But it was very clear in being there that night that they didn't know Christ. You know, and they had no clue who Jesus was. And you start to think about, you know, young people, 20 years old, 18 years old, 22 years old, 14 years old, and they've grown up now in a city where they probably have never heard the gospel accurately communicated. You know, the only context that they've heard about Jesus Christ is a cuss word. You know, that's about the depth that Jesus Christ means to them. And that's how quickly things are changing, you know, that there are literally young people in the city that have no clue what the gospel is, just like somebody living in the jungles of Africa. You know, you go over to the jungles of Africa and they're hearing the gospel for the first time. And we're seeing this in Europe, aren't we? Where you've got people there now that have not heard the gospel, that they're unreached people. And so just being there that night, I was praying and saying, "Lord, there's got to be an opportunity to tell all of these kids that there's hope in Jesus and to turn to Jesus Christ." And there wasn't an opportunity that night. And Roger and Marilyn French, who are a big part of our church, are friends with the Fix family. And Bill Fix, the grandfather, actually comes here to RMC. And through Bill, we were then able to minister to the whole family and do the funeral service here. And as the funeral service was happening, it hit me once again that there are a whole people group that don't know Christ as our Savior, have no clue who Jesus Christ is. And it began to stir in me. We've got to do something to try to reach out to these people of our city. And, you know, we're very blessed and very thankful. People are coming to Christ here all of the time. You know, I got to pray with a man in his early 30s after the 11 o'clock service and have a great discussion with him. And he, you know, prayed to receive Christ and he was ready. And then that is happening. And we're very, very thankful for that. But this is an effort to go out to those unreached people. And so the idea began to stir of let's have some outreaches where we're really reaching out to these kids and trying to do it in a way where we're being fishers of men, not compromising the gospel, but reaching out to them. And during about that same time as well, I'd gone up to Montana on a vacation, and a friend of mine pastors a church in Montana, and one Wednesday a month, they do something called Skull Church. And you're like, what in the world is Skull Church? And you think about it, what does Calvary mean? It's the place of the skull. And so they've used that to create a look and a vibe that reaches out to kids that wouldn't normally come to church. And in this town in Montana, there's these bumper stickers and posters for Skull Church, and the whole entire church is reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ. And once a month, they're seeing 40 or 50 young people come to know Christ as their Savior, because as a church family, they stepped out in a different way to do some outreaches to those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost, right? That was his heart, is that he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Revolution starts now. And why that this is more than just five outreaches is I'm really praying, and I'll be transparent and honest here in my own life, that there's some change that happens in me to reach out in a greater way to those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And I can fall into a rut and a routine where I get to share the gospel a lot right here and inside of these four walls, but I'm not sharing the gospel a lot at the Starbucks. I'm not taking the time to get to know the people that work there. You know, I'm not sharing Christ in my neighborhood. You know, I'm not at the gas station as God gives those opportunities. And there needs to be a work of God in my own heart and in my own life to really stop and to care and to get to know these people that don't know Christ as their Savior. Because this is the world that we're living in. Just having some flyers, and let's say they even do look cool and relate to people that don't know Christ their Savior. Just to have flyers, to do radio ads, to put things out on Facebook, I don't think people are going to come. We're beyond that point. You know what it's going to take? A church that loves them, that's involved in their life, and says, hey, why don't you come out to Revolution? Or why don't you come out to Saturday night service? Or why don't you come Sunday morning? It's not just about those five services, but it's us caring for the lost 365, you know, all throughout the year, then inviting them to the different particular outreaches. So the heart of this is to go out and to look for those that don't know Christ as their Savior, and especially the unreached. You know, the church, the people that the churches aren't going to, you know, the kids that are all tatted up, the kind of kids that are going into the medical marijuana shops and they're 19 years old and they have a backache, so they get a medical marijuana card, and here they are trying to fill their emptiness with pot. Like, we have a medical marijuana shop right here. You can hit it, you know, with a rock. It's called Better Buds. You know, we want to reach those young people that are coming in to Better Buds. And we want to introduce them to the better Savior, you know, the one that can really fulfill that void inside of their life. And you may maybe just write it down and look it up later is John 4 with the woman on the well. I think is a good example of how Jesus, in our perspective, kind of went out of his way to the woman at the well, had a discussion with her, introduced her to the love of God. And her life was transformed. And then she went and witnessed and shared with her friends. And so this is really going to be a group effort. You know, what we don't want this to be seen as is, you know, one department of the church, the youth ministry, the men's ministry, the women's ministry, but us all coming together as a body to be able to serve. anything with this kind of magnitude, you've got to have a director. Eric Galloway is going to be that director, but please don't think of this as that this is a youth outreach. You know, he's just the one that's going to try to put together the pieces to get us all to work together. But our whole staff's going to be a part of it, our pastoral staff, and we're really hoping and praying that you would be a part of it as well. So that's kind of where this all birthed. We're going to try it for a year and see what God does. We're going to do these outreaches in 2012, see what the Lord does, and pray that some people that don't know Christ will come to know Christ as their Savior. So Eric's going to kind of share the vision and the details, and then Kent's going to wrap it up here, and then we'll pray together.
Was you hear the heart for RMC from Eric? Revolution as a ministry is simply a vehicle. It's a road. It's a means to living out that vision and that passion for the lost together. It's a means. And the mission of this ministry, which a lot of you hold in your hands, you should have got on your way in, it's pretty simple. Our aim, our purpose is reaching the unreached of our society with the liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ through this ministry, through these outreaches, really at the heart of it, through our church. We want to see people liberated from sin. We want to see people, both young and old, people that look different than us, reach with the gospel right where they're at. We want to go to them. We want to go after them in the different walks of life. People who dress differently than us, have built their identity around different things. We want to go to those folks and tell them about Jesus. Basically, as a church, we want to storm the gates of hell that have been set up in our community, in these different subcultures, like Jesus told us to. That's what we want to be about. That is our mission, is to see liberating truth of the gospel impact, change, transform lives, and for us to be a part of it. But listen, we don't want this just to be an event that some of us did once upon a time. That's what we do not want this to be. Instead, we want this to be a lifestyle that many people from this time forward live out, use the training from, and are lights everywhere they go. Whether you stay here in Colorado at Rocky Mountain or you go wherever you go throughout the world in whatever church God puts you in, we want it to be something that is carried out, lived out as part of our DNA from this point forward as a church and as individuals of the church. And this is how we can believe that can happen. When you think of revolution, I want you to think of four words, okay? Four words. Mobilization, unification, transformation, unification, mobilization, and liberation. I'm going to say that again. Transformation, unification, mobilization, and liberation. And I want to paint a picture for you, okay? We're going to go story mode here. Any time that God did a great work in the world, the first place he started with was his people. Isaiah is there. King Uzziah, one of the greatest kings Israel had known, has just died. And in Isaiah chapter 6, God appears to Isaiah in the temple and just radically tweaks Isaiah. And at the end of the conversation where God has revealed his glory, God says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah's response after seeing the glory of God, being gripped by his person, is what? "Send me. I'll go. You send me, I'll go." And that is why transformation is where it starts. Transformation in every individual heart. And that right now, I believe, is going on in our church. I genuinely believe that. Our men's conference was the biggest it's ever been since I've been here, and it was a blessing. Men's hearts are being stirred. You are here right now, I believe, because God is stirring your heart to be used in a greater way, to see God reach people around you, in and through you. And we simply want to ride that wave as a church and ask God for more. That's what we want to do. We want to ride what God is doing and ask him for more. Transformation. We want people to be awakened to and continually moved by the love and life of Christ and the lost. And that happens in prayer. We got to be a church that prays together. And that's why, as I'll detail in a moment, we have a whole team that's going to be devoted to praying together. Every team, again, I'll explain that in a minute, will be praying together for our church, our city, and these outreaches. The very place we are in as a church, and I think this is cool, is the book of Acts. And what are we watching God do in the book of Acts? We're watching him radically transform his people and then use them to reach the world. And it's not a coincidence that we're there together. God wants to do something right now. So we want to just keep riding that wave of his spirit and asking God for more. It starts with transformation within us. And I just want to encourage you, as Eric shared, all of us can definitely use more passion from the Lord for the things of God. We all get caught up. The day is busy. We all can easily pass by somebody that we feel God would have us to share with because we are caught up in our own world. That's all of us. We just want God, Lord, grip our hearts. Let us not pass by those people. Let's ignite our hearts on fire like Jeremiah. The word is shut up in our heart, in our bones like a fire, and we can't help but speak it. Transformation. And then it's unification of every member of our body, starting hopefully with all of you for one great purpose, building up and reaching out. We want to be unified. In this ministry, these outreaches are for everyone. And that's what I want you to know. They are for everyone because every one of us plays a role in God's body for God's work. You have a specific gifting from the Lord, but we need to be on the same page. And if you think you're too old, you're not. If you think you're too different from the people we're trying to reach out to, we're definitely not. If you think this ministry or this church doesn't really need you, you're wrong. We want you. God wants you to be involved in this work or any other one of his works for his glory. And so how do we unify? By signing up and being of the same mind together. And again, I'll get into that in a minute. So unification. Now, as God is stirring our hearts, transformation, and as we come together for his great purpose, to be used for his great work, unification, then there's mobilization of our entire team and church to see revolution happen. And the way mobilization works is by first breaking into teams. And I want you to think with me even on military terms. Our military doesn't just mob a war field as one big army and put everybody out there and just run forward as a big mob. They don't do that. They break up different squads, different platoons, different branches of the military with specific purposes, and each of them fulfilling their specific purposes, they wage war. If you don't like military terms, think of football. Okay? Right now, Denver's playing the Raiders. Woo-hoo. And there's an offense team. There's a defense team, there's a special teams. And then within those particular three units, there's a core of offensive linemen. There are running backs, there's receivers, and so on and so forth. And so all doing their thing to accomplish one thing. Everyone doing their thing to accomplish one thing, right? You following with me? So that's what we aim to do together. Each in our specific roles, we want to train and then be unleashed to reach the unique subcultures of our community and within our society through our concentrated outreaches. So, what are the teams? And I want you to think story again. Where does it start? It starts in prayer. And that's why there is a prayer team. We think prayer is of the utmost importance in doing anything for the Lord, especially reaching the lost. Because unless God opens the eyes, we're speaking to deadened souls, and that's going nowhere. There's a prayer team. Many of you out there are prayer warriors. And if that's the case, the prayer team is the place for you. We want the cries of our church to rise to God loudly and constantly for the lost, for our church, for these outreaches. It's like the Air Force, if you will. You're going to be dropping bombs from above, okay, in prayer. You're going at it in the spiritual air war. And so there's prayer happening. And then as prayer is happening, we have, secondly, a promotion team. And these are folks, whereas the prayer team seeks God's face, the promotion team is going to be seeing the face of people. Going out into the street as part of the ground force, if you will, or the offense in a football game, and their goal is to build relationships, inform people, and promote revolution in the outreaches, and above, and more importantly than everything, proclaim the gospel every opportunity that they get. There's a team going out for that. If you're passionate about telling people about Jesus, here you go. This is the team for you to be in. And here's what I want you to know. We want to go to places generally maybe you wouldn't want to go. And we want to build relationships there. And we want to see people reach there. And we might get mocked and might get made fun of and it might be uncomfortable. But that's pretty exciting, right? One time I almost got beat up by a family of Mormon Samoans sharing the gospel at the temple. And that was not only scary because they could probably break me in half, you know, but it was super exciting. You know what I mean? Your heart is not going to be calm when that's going on. That's the exciting part of taking the gospel out. It's exciting. Now, fast forward. Here's the day of the event. God willing, floods of people who would never enter our church are coming into these doors, right? They're coming into these doors, and they're going to need people to greet, welcome, love on, and inform them in a way that honors God, in a way that tells them, we are so happy you are here. I don't care if your eyelids are tattooed and you freak me out. I am so glad you're here. And this is why we need a hospitality team. People that are going to, with the love of Christ, greet, inform, love on, show around the church, welcome them in, make them feel like this is the place for them, and then also to do it with very practical food means. Hospitality team is going to be about that too, making these people feel warm and welcome. That's also part of the ground force or offense, if you will. That's base camp. We need people for that. There's going to be a team for that. Now again, fast forward. The event is ending. The proclamation of the gospel is going out. By God's grace, people are responding. Eyes are being opened. And as eyes are being opened and hearts are being changed, guess what needs to happen to those people that come up here? They need someone to help them walk this faith out, to give them a good direction, to point them in the right direction, if you will, to inform them about what's going on in our church, help them to walk through it, encourage them in what they just did through the scriptures, through time, through words. They're going to need men and women who love to help them in this next stage of God's journey for their life. We're going to have a follow-up team. And that expands to not only just meeting people up here, but God willing, counseling if necessary, new believers classes if it goes that direction, but people to help them and encourage them in what they just did. We're going to need a follow-up team. And then last but not least, in order to put any outreach on where any of this can take place, we need an event team. And folks, if you're handy and you love to just put your hands to the work, We're gonna need setup on stage, and we're going to need tear down on stage, and we're going to need all those things. And I don't want to minimize how important that is, because without that, the rest of this stuff doesn't happen the way that it should. Without that, people don't get to spend as much time with people as they should. And maybe you're like, well, up to this point, I haven't heard anything. I'm not a great prayer warrior. I'm not, you know, very vocal in my faith. I'm, you know, and you can have excuses for all these things, but you're a worker. Man, we're going to have a setup team and learning to do those things. Now, for every team, there's going to be training. Times where we're going to come together as a whole, every team together as a whole, to pray together, and then from there break off together for specific individual training. We don't want you guys to go at these things by yourself. We don't want you to wing it. We don't want you to be fearful. Some of you are like, I want to share my faith. Nobody's ever taught me. Good. We would love to teach you that. Kent's been dying to teach you about the theology of mission and why it's so important to share our faith. And so this is an opportunity. And on down the line through these different teams, we want to train and help you to do these things. Now, in case it hasn't been clear, and I'm going to wrap it up here, all of this mobilization is twofold. That every one of you, myself included, we might be equipped for whatever God's going to do in our life, big picture. This is a piece of that puzzle and equipping in your life in ministry. But also that we might come together on our outreach day. The first one being April 27th. On our outreach day to see this vision come to life. And what is that vision? Liberation. Okay? Liberation, big picture, is the vision. And we envision people being liberated from sin by the power, love, and grace of Jesus Christ, and then turning around, being built up by our church, going back out to their communities, and reaching their family and friends with the truth of the gospel. And on it goes. It's liberation. Last thing I want to share on this, and then I'm going to tell you how to specifically get involved. One of the things that triggered me and forever changed my heart towards reaching the lost. Number one, I was a very lost person, which a lot of you know. And number two, as I got involved in ministry one morning, I was driving down at the church I was at. Had a 7 a.m. service. And so we're driving down in California, Grand Avenue, and it's about 6 something in the morning. And to my left, there is a car crashed into a tree, and 4 young people are in it. We pull over, and as we pull over, the car breaks out into flames. And we pull the 2 passenger side people, front and back, out. And we go over to grab the driver's side folks, and they're belted in. And the fire is just taking. I watched those 2 young people burn to death right in front of my eyes. Rocked my world. And the reality was, if they didn't know Jesus, they went from one very real flame to another. We have the opportunity to be a part of God's work, to affect lives so that doesn't happen to whoever God would reach through us. This is important. This is not just something we do as a church. This is not like, you know, churches do this thing. That's what we're supposed to do. God is so into this thing, he gave his son, right? So that whoever believes would not perish. And guys, this is a great, great opportunity for us to do it together. Now, on a practical level, how does this work? Well, you've probably seen these slides up. John Mark's going to put these up when we did our youth leaders launch. And what we did with these is we tried to capture kind of general giftings. If you're gifted and passionate about connecting with people, people with God and each other, you might be what we call a connector. And listen, every team needs you, okay? Not just the promotion team. Every team needs you. Greeters need connectors. Prayer team needs connectors. Hospitality team needs connectors. Every portion, every team needs connectors. And you're going to be the one that is interacting with people in whatever sphere of influence you think is important, prayer team, etc. And then we broke it off into, after connectors, as supporters or coordinators. Yeah, there you go. Stop it. Supporters, right? More hands-on. Event team is kind of right up your alley, but every team needs you. So if you have a heart to share the gospel, but maybe you're just a little bit more quiet, we still need supporters on that team. We really, really do. So every team is going to need one of these. And then a coordinator, which is last. If you're gifted and creative with guiding people to bless and mobilize, man, we need a coordinator for every team to help coordinate every team. We want to see every team staffed with every portion of gifting God would have, because if not, we're not going to work right. So, in the back, on your way out, is sign-ups for specific teams. And it's self-explanatory. It says what you feel like you are, connector, supporter, etc. And then we ask for some general information. And what we're going to do with that then is contact you and fill you in on what dates and training looks like in the future as we map that out, come closer to April 27th. So, thank you guys for listening. Kent's going to kind of wrap us up.
After hearing this, maybe some of you might be thinking, okay, we're going to do this one thing over here. And this one thing is called Revolution. Then we have Rocky Mountain over here doing this normal thing. This is not another boat we're creating. This falls within our mission statement, be, make, and send. And that's what makes me excited about this outreach is we're not doing anything new. We're doing what we have always done, but we're amping it up because we see the need. It's so great. And one of the beautiful things about Revolution is it's bringing all ministries together. It's bringing, in just a much greater way, the staff together. And what we want to see is it brings the church together in a much greater way to fill our calling and our mission statement is to be a disciple, make a disciple, and send a disciple. And so as we go out and we are reaching people, we're reaching the lost, it doesn't mean that other things are going to take, you know, second fiddle or anything. I mean, we're still going to be passionate about all the things that we've been passionate about before. We're just going to organize and we're going to strategize together a little better. And we're going to come to you with vision, more vision of what's going on, how to get involved and what to do. And so, again, we're not we're not necessarily creating anything new outside of what we've already been doing. In essence, we're adding to the plate a little bit, and we're organizing the entire church better to make all the things that we're doing currently be better as well, as well as be able to pull off these outreach events. And so, for instance, if I'm going to be in charge of training and missions and evangelism, and so as people are coming up who want to learn how to share their faith, they might be already so plugged into another ministry that we have here at the church, for instance, Northern Church's Care or something else that's going on. We're definitely going to be training them to understand mission and to understand evangelism. It's not like we're going to be so focused on revolution and these outreaches that other areas are going to be neglected. That's not going to happen. But because of what's happening and Eric's passion and how the Lord's speaking to Eric and how it's funneling through the staff, we're going to amp up everything that needs to be needed anyways, and we're going to do a much better job of hospitality team. We know when you come through those doors, there should be, every person should receive a handshake regardless. Everybody knows that. And if you become a believer, you know our mission is to make disciples. Jesus tells us to make disciples, not converts. Every person who comes to Jesus Christ in this church should have the opportunity to receive discipleship, how to be a believer, to step through the steps, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in a class. And so we're addressing all these areas that our church is passionate about prior to revolution, and the things that are already happening anyways, we're going to make them better. We're going to refine processes that we're already doing to fulfill our mission statements: be a disciple, make a disciple, and send a disciple. Now, one of the things that we can't walk out of here is, I mean, this is our church. This is what we do. We are all about teaching the Word of God. We want to see the Holy Spirit move through our church. Everybody is on board. Everybody sees that. I mean, what a wonderful thing it was to see 100 people get baptized the last baptism. I mean, the Holy Spirit is moving mightily within our church. And so it's not like we're not seeing him moving. But we see him moving for the future. Where's Rocky Mountain going? And how are we going to impact the unreached in our city, as well as Morocco, as well as Uganda, and well as Mexico? And so, I just want to kind of just reinforce what we're doing here is we are stepping up, and we're going to be doing training, yes, for revolution, but we're also going to be doing training just as who we are as a church, and everybody needs to have the opportunity to receive discipleship. Who needs discipleship? And if you have a passion to share your faith, we're going to continue to teach evangelism classes, and we're going to continue to try to plug you into certain areas so we can fulfill our calling, and so we can really capture our mission statement. And our mission statement should be over all ministries anyways. And so as we're going out and we're reaching people, it's going to affect women's ministry, because hopefully some of these people will come into our church and they go into the women's ministry. It's going to affect everything. It's going to affect how the information desk operates, because hopefully there's going to be brand new people coming in, and they're going to have to bring them in and understand, okay, all these new people are coming in, and this is the reason why. I mean, every aspect of our church is going to be affected some form or fashion. And again, we're not doing anything necessarily new. We do a lot of outreach in our church. We do it, and it's wonderful. Just to see, like Project Nehemiah, we had a ton of you guys come out, which was wonderful. 800 people come out to serve in Project Nehemiah to hit our city. And so we see that the Holy Spirit's moving on your guys' hearts as well, is this pastoral staff. So we're going to come together, and we're just going to organize. And this is where we're going to go as a church in 2012. But again, it's more than an event. It's a mindset. This is the church we are. This is what we do. This is how we do it. And so when somebody comes up and says, what's Rocky Mountain all about? Should we quickly be, make, send, and every aspect of what we do is be, make, send as a church, because it really incorporates everything as a Christian. Be a disciple, make a disciple, and send a disciple. And so I'm extremely excited about these outreaches for that reason, because I see all areas of our church strengthening and us as a church coming together as a team and moving forward with vision and clarity and organization in a much greater way than we have ever done before. And so I can't wait to serve with you guys. And if you ever have a question about these things, I'm sure we're going to be able to talk to you more about this, not only today, but in the future as well, because this is where we're going. And it's going to take all of us. It can't just take some of us. So it's going to really take all of us. And so, Eric?
Yeah. So just to kind of clarify, you know, revolution is a mindset of reaching out to the lost that permeates the whole church. The details are there's 5 specific outreaches in 2012. The first will be April 27th, and then there'll be every other month on Friday nights. So it'll be April 27th, and the next one's July, and the next one's September, and so on. And, you know, the things we're kind of praying about is on one of them, bring in heavy metal bands that love Christ and reach out to all the kids that are in heavy metal music and say, hey, come on in. And just like we saw in the skate outreach, a lot of people came that weren't into skating because it just connected with them. And so don't feel like you've got to invite just a kid that's into heavy metal. One's going to be hip hop and rap, you know, so Christians that love hip hop and rap, and there's guys locally that are sold out for Christ that are in it and saying, okay, all the hip hop culture, that's who we're reaching out to. But these groups of people are unreached groups of people throughout our city. So that kind of gives you an idea of what it looks like a little bit. Let's take a few questions. We can answer more questions one-on-one, and then we'll move into prayer groups. So if you've got a question, if you just stand up and speak it loud so everybody can hear you. Anybody got a burning question? Yeah, that's a great question. Part of what my heart has been in this and what I think that the Lord is desiring to do is break down that stigma of coming to a church. Most people say you've got to do outreaches outside of a church building, otherwise people won't come. And one of the things that we're praying is that these 5 outreaches will be here in the sanctuary on a Friday night. And what we're praying and hoping is that God will bring them right inside the building. One of them may be out in the parking lot during the summer, but they'll be here at the church. And that's part of what we're praying the Lord will break down in people's hearts and minds. And so we're going to be inviting them to come here on those Friday nights. So, yeah. Yeah. When the training, do you want to?
Yeah. It's not going to be towards the end of this year for exactly the reason you said. And our outreach is 4 months into the new year for this purpose, so that we can adequately train. So we're going to be getting things to you, and the launch is January, and we move forward from there. But you guys all know how it's considered January already, right? Things move that fast at this time of the year. So we wanted to get with you as a family first, inform you of what's coming. But you're going to have that, and then we'll ramp up in January on. We don't want to try to tackle stuff at the end of this year. That would be disastrous, so.
So training will come in January. We'll try to honor everybody's schedules, make it worthwhile, and get what you need. There may be things that your team is doing that you can't always do, but don't prevent that from being part of a team if the Lord is calling you and stirring you in this. So anybody else? Yeah.
Serving in this, but for that specific answer, you come see me afterwards. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, so the question was, if I'm feeling called towards youth ministry, is this different? And the answer is yes, because Revolution is really a target towards all ages, and then youth ministry is directed towards the teens of our church. So, yeah.
That was kind of along the lines of my question was, how do we involve our families with this? So I have a 10 and a 13-year-old, and would they be on the team, or would they just kind of, would I pass the training on to them and then they come to the events, or how does that work in terms of engaging the family with this?
You know, I would kind of look for a team that maybe fits in with your family. You know, if your family's fairly outgoing, maybe the promotion team, if you're kind of more coordinators, and then kind of what we try to do, our kids are a little younger, so it breaks down, but is just bring them in with what you're doing. You know, so if you find yourself kind of fitting here and some of their gifts and saying, okay, why don't you come in along with this? But we're totally game for doing it together as a family. I think that's ideal. If you remember kind of the vision that we did share for the youth of our church, this is part of it. I think as the youth see God use their life, their faith comes to life. So we're really praying that they're inviting their friends and seeing God reach their friends, and all of a sudden they've witnessed the walls of Jericho come down. It's not just the stories of their parents and grandparents. It's their own stories as well of God working. So let's do two more questions. Any?
I was wondering, is this more focused towards, like, because you were talking about musical events going on here, so is it going to be more focused towards going out to younger people, or are we going to be going out towards to, like, homeless people and all kinds of different aspects of people, or more of just people that have the ability to get here on their own feet?
So the question is it, you know, primarily towards the youth, and is there willingness to go out and try to bring people in? I don't think it's just towards the youth. To give you an idea, a friend of mine did an outreach up in Brighton. He pastors the church up there. And Brian Head Welch was a guy that got saved that did that outreach. He was the lead guitar player for Korn, if you're familiar with that band. But there was a bunch of 40-year-olds that came out to that outreach. I was blown away at the skate outreach, how many guys older than I am are into skateboarding, you know. And so we kind of look at this and go, just young people are into this, but there's people of all ages that are into these different kinds of things. So it's not just youth. And then I think that's part of us coming together, is God's given us two buses. We're more than willing to go out and try to bring people in, homeless that want to come, you know, whoever's willing to come. It's kind of the parable that Jesus told of going out to the first guest list and they all said no. So now we're going out to the whosoever's, you know, we're going out to whoever will get on the bus and is willing to come. So one more question. We're going to continue to have those available out in the foyer. Her question was, the signups are there in the back. What if we need some time to pray about it? So you'll continue to see those signups in the foyer. We're going to be talking about this some in the sanctuary as well. And this is something that I think is really on God's heart, is I think there is a way for all of us to be a part of this. Whether you sign up for a team or not, you're going to be aware of what's going on and be able to invite people to come to these events. But I think there's some of you where God's really calling you to play a larger part in that. And that's where we're just trusting the Holy Spirit. And really, you know, it's the 10, 20, 30, 40 committed people that they say, you know, Revolution is my thing for 2012. I mean, how many of you guys have heard of Pure Rebellion that has come out of this church? There's about 30 or 40 people that's their thing, that God has called them to and that God has burdened them with. And we need that core of 30, 40 people, 50 people that Revolution is their thing. And then we need the involvement of everyone, you know, that says, you know, this is on my heart and I care for these people and this group of people.
Another thing I think it's important too is a lot of, you know, folks in this church. As I looked out, I think it's safe to say the vast majority of you currently serve in a ministry, correct? Yeah, shake your head if you serve in a ministry right now. Okay. You sit around people that don't, and you know them. And I want to encourage you to inform them about this as well, because we want to see more of our church mobilized for ministry. Maybe they've never been part of a ministry at all. We want to see those folks in here too, because the more of us that are serving, the greater impact. That's God's heart. That's part of discipleship. And so, maybe you come here and right now you're like, this is not for me. But you sit around a group of people that come to this church, tell them. Tell them about this. Let's see what God will do in their hearts and get them involved to serve the Lord as well. So,
yeah. We're going to break up into groups of three or five and pray. And then when your group is done, feel free to head on out with your evening. We'll be available to answer questions. And we'll just kind of, we'll be in the table in the back to answer questions. Just kind of let me end with this thought. You know, we live close to the church here. And I was driving here for this meeting, and there's a kid that's at the corner of Flint Ridge and Academy, you know, and he's got his backpack on, and he's got his bike on, and, you know, you could just look into his eyes and see the lostness of his soul. And as we go to pray, let's pray for the lost that are in this community that are actually right outside these doors. This group that I'm describing, the unreached, the ones that people aren't willing to go to, you know what? They're camped out in our parking Friday night at 2 in the morning doing who knows what. They're right there at 2 in the morning. If you spent 6 hours in our parking lot and watched who walked in and who walked out and who watched through and the drug deals that happen and the prostitution and all those things, it is on the church property. I mean, that's how real this stuff is. We're not saying this is another part of town. This is that. This is our neighborhood. Those boys got shot and killed in our neighborhood. And to personalize it a little bit and begin to pray and say, God, would you give me a heart for those people? Would you burden me with those people? And would you move in our church? And we need God to do something, because this is something that we can't do. That the Lord would just birth whatever he has in mind and whatever he desires and he intends. And we're so thankful that you're here and that you came out. And I know that the Lord is going to use each and every one of you in some way to fulfill the Great Commission and be able to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. So let's break up into groups of three or five. Pray for the lost. Pray for revolution. And then we'll be available out in the foyer, and pray you have a really blessed night. So find a group of three or five and pray together.